Time to go from your outer dreamer to your inner dreamer. I invite you to just sit down, whatever you're holding, literally, metaphorically, and begin to settle into your seat. Feel yourself going into the music at the same time as you go gently turning within. Take a breath. Just feel that breath breathe you very gently. No pressure or force. Yes, let the yawns come up. Let the feelings come up. Turn to your body as you take another breath. You're welcome to do this with eyes open, partially closed or closed, whatever you feel comfortable with. When you breathe gently again, feel yourself settling into your chair. Feel the flow of energy flowing from the top part of your body down through your arms and your hands. Through the middle part of your body, through your seat, into the chair. Through the lower part of your body, through your legs and feet, into the floor. Begin to let go. Very gently in, let it breathe you out as you let go even more. In my morning's healing imagery, I saw a picture of a fire. So I want to bring that into the day's meditation. Imagine yourself beside a fire. Maybe it's a fireplace. Maybe it's a bonfire on a beach. But allow that fire to be warm and nurturing beside you. And if any other imagery comes up of light or suns or whatever, just go with it. Follow the words, but into your own place. And beside that fire, begin to open your heart and your feelings to that fire. That warmth of love, nurturing, presence. Remember to breathe. As you open to that fire, begin to allow its love to come into you. Let yourself be nurtured. We don't do enough letting in nurturing for ourselves in our days. But this fire is here for you, for love, for the depth of kindness, gentleness, and warmth that we can only barely imagine letting in. Let it in today. And as you open to letting it in, see if you're willing to let yourself out to the fire. Give to the fire what's on your mind, what's in your heart. Perhaps what's troubling you or what's rich inside of you. Let yourself trust that you can be yourself with this warmth of flame and fire. Open your heart just a little crack more to letting out your emotions. Today is about prosperity. Perhaps you have issues around money, having enough. If you do, let those thoughts and feelings, fears or worries out to the fire to be transformed for you. You aren't alone in this. You're with the fire. The fire of the universe, the fire of love, the fire of your divine being. This is your relationship to love, to warmth. Heart to God. Sit there, be there. Give and receive as you sit beside the fire in a few moments of silence. Take another breath as you begin to tune back into the music. and to tune back into your body. And you become aware of the person to your right or to your left. Bid the fire au revoir for the moment, but just remember that that fire is always there for you in whatever form it comes to you. As you gently return to the room, return to the feeling in your hands and your feet. Feel yourself coming back to present time as we go back into the beautiful music. I'm not the focus of attention. You are. So I get to look at you. All right. What's that?
Money.
You got it. All right. Money does grow on trees, doesn't it? Is that in the right place?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So today is about three stories of prosperity. I've actually written this talk three times, and this was the third channeling. So we'll go with this version. Shifting from fear to love to guide our work and life. Let's see where we go with that. Unity themes this year, as you will be aware for those of you who come regularly, courage, the courage to imagine. So we're going to follow up on John's theme and more. October theme is prosperity. As you know from previous talks this month, like Janet Law last week, prosperity is the theme for the month. Today is about guidance, as we heard in the daily word. So those are the touchstones from where I take my direction. So my first question to you, how do you think about money, wealth, and prosperity? Tune inside. Money, wealth, and prosperity. What does it do inside of you? Well, let's take a look at some images. Is this one of yours? I wish I had, I wish I had, I wish I might, I wish I had. A lot of us do that. Two men talking. First one says, I have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of my life. if I die by next Tuesday. Now, that's a popular one on the internet, so I'm not the only one thinking that way occasionally. Some of you might be as well. A little challenging, but pithy, right? Woman in pearls, obviously a fancy gown, done up to the nines, and she says, I hate to spend money, but the economy needs me. Now, come on, let's get into the spirit of what's true right here, okay? Husband and wife sitting over a stack of bills at the dinner table, and the husband says, I found the problem. We earn money 5 days a week, but we spend money 7 days a week. Now that you know the answer, you can go home without having to hear the talk, right? Okay, so for many of us, what prosperity is really about is this bottom line. How can I get and have more money? Ain't it true? Often, we can talk a lot of things about prosperity. It often comes down to this thing called money. Now, I'm not going to limit it there, but what I want to do is invite truth into the room. So you don't have to feel like you have to be spiritual or holier than thou or different from what you are. If this is an issue, let's deal with it. That's why the topic of prosperity can both enliven and lift us. In other words, the thought of having more money, success, prosperity, wealth is enlivening. But at the same time, it can trigger fears and worries inside. Oh my God, do I really want to look at how much money I have? Or where I'm going? Or if I'll have enough to get by next Tuesday? It's dual. And that's the human struggle, as it triggers both inside of us. It's also something we tend to avoid talking about because it's too personal. We don't want to reveal who we are and how we're doing. Or because it's not spiritual in some audiences. Well, instead of that today, let's go to the heart of it. If we can't do anything in spirituality but go to our truths, we would be well served. As opposed to avoiding the truth to try to be better than we think we are or should be. So let's go to the heart of it today. How do we usually deal with needing more money? Okay, first one that came to mind is we look for a job or more work. How many have ever had to do that when you were needing more money? I need more work. I need some source. But then what happens? Well, excuse me, what was that?
You get the job and then you spend more money.
Exactly. Okay, so here are some of the conundrums of I need more job, more money, but then I have to spend it in order for the clothes or the travel or whatever it happens to be. Or we start simply before and we start looking at the want ads or the job postings and go, nope, 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 I wouldn't want to do that, I wouldn't want to do that, I wouldn't want to do that. Oh my God, there's nothing out there that I'd actually want to do. Or maybe it's, I'm too old for a job. It's like, I've been working enough years. I don't want to keep doing the regular 9-to-5. Surely there's something else, but where is it? I don't want to work anymore, maybe coming up for some of us. And that's a challenge if the first one is I need more money from a job or work. The result is we end up doing things we don't really want to do. Now, many have been there in a job or work to earn money, or we settle for what we have and figure we can't have what we need because we don't want to put ourselves through what we think we need to get the money. Challenge for human beings. How else do we deal with trying to have more money? Well, this has been a popular one over the last 20 years. Do what you love and
money will come.
Hey, I got the right audience here. All right, good. All right. By the way, we're doing a gig down the street later on. If you join me here, we'll... Okay, so do what you love. The problem is many people with that edict, do what you love, do what you love, will say, I have no idea what I love. I've been tuning out of myself for so long, I'm really not sure. Or you get a sense of what you like to do, and the next statement that comes up is, no one will ever pay me to do that. Okay, so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, so to speak. Or you do what you love and the money doesn't flow the way you expected. Oh, bummer. So the result, we still end up doing things that we don't really want to do, or settling for what we have. This financial one, this prosperity, this money one is a challenge for so many people. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, by the way. I ain't Lord God and Savior here. I have struggles as well. I just want to work with you on it together to give you some ideas of what's worked for me. But I got lots of pitfalls too. No perfection here. So where does that leave us? Often with the phrase, I have no choice. Or there's nothing I can do about it. Now these phrases are the characterization of the ego. The mortal self that sees itself in a box and can't find its way out. And so if those words are true for you, that's okay, because that's part of our experiential reality here. So what's the answer to the problem here that I've been exploring? Well, this is the best one I've been able to find. Lottery tickets. You gotta go out and buy lottery tickets. By the way, so, well, okay. I'm not going to leave you with lottery tickets, and I don't have any to sell you today. But that's where many of us turn, right? That's where hope comes from. I was talking to a very spiritual person recently who said, if these lottery tickets will come through, I'll be able to do what I want. It's like, isn't there a better way here? All right. So in August, I talked in a couple of talks about moving between two worlds, crossing the bridge between two worlds, one world and another world. And I'm going to continue with that theme, but go deeper and specifically apply to prosperity and money. I also talked about that bridge. We may not know where it's going, but it's taking us with this desire to go to a different place in a different way, and in a way that's enriching, kind of the way that that staircase feels like it has some aliveness to it. But what does that really mean? Let's ground the idea into what it means in reality. It's a shift between two world views. Here's one you'll have heard before. The way we think about ourselves and our world. We are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. Teilhard, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Now, if you think of, we've said it, but think about what it really means. If we think of ourselves as physical beings, but what he's saying, this is a Catholic theologian who was also a paleontologist with the famous museum in Paris, France. He says, if we're not physical beings, but spiritual beings, we have to cross from one world of seeing ourselves as physical beings to another world where we see ourselves as spiritual beings. And if we do that, that's going to radically change how we show up in the world. What we do, what we choose, how we live, how we listen. But it's not easy to consider how do you move from one world to the other. It's a shift as well in the lens we use to see the world. So for example, often we go through life feeling like we're looking through a lens darkly. Can kind of see where we need to go, but not quite, and feels kind of dim. What if we were to shift lenses and be able to see more clearly? That's what the spiritual work is attempting to say. Shift from the dark way of seeing, that mortal limited self that we heard in the daily word, to a larger sense of seeing and sight. But it's also a shift in the state of mind we come from. A state of mind that says, I'm not sure about you, if you're safe, or about this job, or about trusting enough in doing things that I care about or love, because I'm not sure I'm going to have enough. Into a different place of being that's open and receptive. Wide open. But it doesn't mean you have to go from one to the other. This is not a should. This is a gradual, small step process that I'm talking about here today. To the ego, we live in a world of powerlessness. There's really nothing I can do to change. Climate change, Donald Trump, the state of money, my relationships, the problems I've had in my family. There's a lot of powerlessness from our personal self in the world. Fear and lack. Shoulds and struggle are often part of the ego's description of life and limit-based living. To our regular self, the world has power over us. And we need to protect ourselves from the world that has power over us. That's one resident state of mind that's inside all human beings. To the spirit of true self, we live in a world very different. It's a world of power and ability, not power over, but power through, and the ability to create and transform and change things. It's about fullness and having the richness of, for example, Carl and Desiree and Will with their music coming forth. It's what flows through us, this fullness that then gets expressed. It's about love and caring and possibility-based living. Very different world than the ego's perspective on life, isn't it? So, to the larger self, life is shaped by what's inside of us. And we are actually safe and cared for. Now that's a nice picture, but how many of us really feel that? This is the shift from the old world to the new world, from the old view and experience to a new place. That to me is what this work is about and why this place exists. Nice ideas, man, but how do we make the shift? Okay, listen, call me on it. And even after the service, call me on it. If you say bullshit, pardon the expression, that's okay, because you're grounded in your own reality, and that's where we all have to start. Okay, so back to the idea of our limited self in one world, moving to a larger one, a shift in worldviews and how we relate to the world. But let's ground it in something that looks a little bit more practical. Bridge, near where I used to live. Think of the left side as being where the ego resides. That's our resident state of being or mind on the left side. And the bridge we're going to take over to the spiritual side, the true self, the real whole self within. That's the bridge that I want to create or build a little bit today. Think of the ego on that side. Prosperity is about, I don't have enough. I feel anxious. I need to get more work and money. If I have money, I will feel... And now you can fill in the blank. How would you feel if you had more money?
Rich.
Powerful. Ecstatic. These are some of the words. Yep. Excuse me. What was that one?
Tight.
Safe.
Free.
Secure. Free. Okay. See, these are some of our aspirations. If we had it, that's how we want to feel. But the problem is, to keep feeling that way, I need to keep getting more money, work, jobs. And so it's a cycle that is perpetuated, and the feelings depend on having the money. That means we're trapped. Because if we don't have it, we don't have the feelings. We've got to break that connection. How can we do that? So, to the true self, prosperity for me, that's my take on it. None of this is gospel truth, just my take on things. I listen to what I love and care about inside. I listen to what matters to me. I then express this in the world because I enjoy it, I care about it, it matters to me, and others do too. I feel richer because of expressing it, and more comes to me as a result. A very different way of operating that says it starts with me. It starts with finding and connecting, putting out, and being richer because I put it out, like these musicians do. Crossing the bridge, therefore, is moving from fear of not having enough inside to love and trust that I have enough inside, that I'm worthy, that I'm valuable, that what I have to bring into the world needs. And the more that I give and refine and deepen, the better offering I have to give to others, and the more they're going to gain from it and value it and want to have more of it. A different way of operating. Moving from anxiety to peace so that we can listen more clearly inside to what it is that matters to us, what our gifts are. moving from that lack of I don't have anything I can offer to the fullness of going, well, my truth is this is what I'd like to bring into the world, whether it's music or baking or words or whatever it is, it's needed. So we feel better now. If we can shift on the bridge and feel better now, then from that inner place of peace, loving, having fullness, richness, we make decisions from that place and take actions that bring these into the world. Imagine doing that, getting clear, being centered, bringing out. This creates wealth, richness, joy, and satisfaction for others and for ourselves. So it's an inwardly based place of being able to bring wealth and richness into our world. And the more that we give out, the richer we feel, and others do too. So what is wealth or richness to you? And how does it feel? Can you give me some descriptors of what wealth or richness would be for you?
Health.
Comfort. What else would wealth or richness be, or how would it feel to you?
Loving family.
Gratitude. Excuse me, gratitude?
Feeling blessed.
Enough. Enough in what way?
Always.
So physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, friends, enough work to the level we want, but not too much. Enough money. Okay, freedom. All right. If these are some of the North Stars for guiding where we want, because if we get lost in the money and forget about the feelings, we lose what it is that we're really wanting and the direction that will guide us. We can do a lot of work and not feel these things, but we can have these feelings working or not working. So, I promised in the write-up three stories of prosperity. But here's what I'd like to do as I share them. As you listen to them, I want you to think about how I've been crossing the bridge from my fearful self or lacking self to a richer, more abundant self. And to use the stories for yourself to say, how might I use the stories, the insights, to move from my small self to my larger self? In other words, how to move from my or your fear and lack thinking and experience in life to love and richness thinking and experience. Okay? So, story number one. This one's about Australia. And I've described this one briefly in another talk, but I want to give you a few more details about it. Basically, the story was, in 1996, my mother was about to be married to somebody in Australia. Now, that's not a picture of who she was about to marry, just so you know. Okay, this is the man she was about to marry. His name is Alan. So, now, it was great. She met this man 50 years before during World War II in Winnipeg, Manitoba, of all places, reconnected with him in the early 90s after his wife had passed, my father had passed. They got together, became a couple, and they were going to be remarried. So, quite a story. The problem was, for me, I was in Toronto, they were getting married in Melbourne, Australia, and if you've ever looked at a map, it's some distance from Toronto to Melbourne. And the second part of that, as you know is coming, is dineros. No money. All right, in fact, my siblings and I, sister, brother, myself, all did not have enough money, so we didn't expect to make it down to the wedding. In fact, we just said, and my mom recognized, basically, sorry you can't make it. So that was the way it was going to go. We didn't have the money, couldn't make it. Now, I was talking to a friend, a long-term friend of the family, in January of the year. My mom was going to be married on March 2nd in Australia, March 1st in Canada, because of the time change. And I'm talking to this friend, and she said, well, you know, are you going down? I said, no, don't have it. And she kind of said, well, gee, that's too bad. I can't imagine not being at my own mother's wedding. You've ever had a landmine dropped into your midst? There's one. Well, it turns out Just shortly after that, my wife and I were about to take a trip already planned, already paid for, to Mexico. I'm lying on the beach in Mexico with nothing to do, my mind's wide open, and I'm starting to go, how can I not go to my own mother's wedding? How can I not go to my own mother's wedding? It's just like, whoa! I hadn't let that one up before hearing it from a family friend. Well, one of the days I went over to my wife and I said, I've got to do this. We need to take out a loan or something. And she looked at me and she said, in case you haven't noticed, we already have a couple of them. Like, no, it ain't going to happen this way. Sorry. I got home and I was still frothing at the mouth, so to speak, going, I got to do this. So what it started for me was the courage to imagine that I could do it. I hadn't, that door was closed prior to that, but now it was open. So I'm doing my morning exercises. Now we're moving from late January into early February, and I start to say, and this is the way I work with spirit, God, the inner self, divine mind, however you want to call it, do you want me to go? I try not to make decisions on my own limited thinking because I don't know what's possible. So I do specifically, clearly state, do you want me to go? If you want me to go, give me a sign. And each morning as I'm getting up and doing my exercise, the same conversation. If you want me to go, give me a sign. Well, I started to get some ideas about how I might do this. The first one that came to mind was being a courier. Maybe some of you have had this thought before. Some companies pay people to take packages around the world. I'm not talking drugs here, just so you know. Personal documents, things that are legal. You know, I'm not trying to skirt the system here. And if you are, no judgment on that. Okay. Just so you know, we got to be clear here. So I started to have this idea. So I started to make some phone calls, do a little research into courier companies. Well, the problem with courier companies is the benefit was, yes, they would pay you to go, but you could only stay there for 2 days and basically take no luggage. You are down, drop, back, not enough time to get to the wedding. Darn, not going to be able to go. The feeling of, if you want me to go, show me a way. Well, after a couple of days and the research, I felt like there was an open channel inside saying, yes, continue looking for a way to do this. Okay, so I said, if I'm clear inside, and I got as clear as I could be, it's time to act on this. So I did. So I thought, so what's the next strategy for getting down? Well, at the time, so the other question was, do you want me to go, and how do I generate the money? So at the time, I was a consultant to something called the Ontario Healthy Communities Coalition. And I was creating a report or a manual for communities to look and see how healthy and sustainable they are. And I'd been working on it for, let's say, 6 months. And I created something. I was in the midst of moving to the final stages of creating it. And I felt like I had something good. And I thought, maybe there's a way that I could sell this new wisdom, so to speak, a compilation of what people have been doing around the world and offer it to people in Australia. So I called a contact of mine in Toronto who had some contacts of healthy communities around the world. He gave me names of people in Australia and I started to call them. And I asked each one, would you be interested? If you're interested, I'll fax you some information. We were on faxes at that time. No email, not as simple as that. And so what I did is I started to work. I went 9 to 5 in my Toronto job, and then 5 o'clock was the start of business day in Australia, or in Sydney and Melbourne area. And so I started to call, fax, and inquire to see if people would be interested. Well, long story short, my wife and I had this conversation, and she says, so if you're going to try to do this, first I was trying to raise enough money so the two of us could go. But as I was progressing, it was clear I wasn't getting enough to get two down. I was not even sure I'd get one person down. The agreement was, if I got 4 days of consulting at my consulting rate and expenses paid, then I could go, and it would be harmonious for her, because harmony in the family is as important as attending the wedding. All right, well, the night, you know, I looked at the trip and I said, here's the last possible day I could fly in order to get down with a day's grace before the wedding, because I don't want to show up at the wedding and my mother have a heart attack. Wouldn't be a good idea. So I said, I'll arrive this time before, and the last flight I can take would be this day. Well, the night before that day, we had some friends over. I'd asked them to bring over a suitcase. And we were over dinner, and they were kind of commiserating that I wasn't going to go because I only had about a day and a half of consulting, not close to the 4 days. And I was, frankly, I was pissed off. Anybody ever been pissed off? Yeah, okay. And when I went back up to work at 8 o'clock that night, leaving my friends and my wife downstairs, I was really pissed off. And I was sitting down with the phone about to call these Australians and say, what the is wrong with you? Don't you understand what a good person you could have and what I could offer you and what I could bring to you? And I looked and listened to myself and I said, there's no effing way you are going to be able to communicate something positive if you're coming from this headspace. So unless you shift this, you might as well stop there. So I took 15 minutes. I put myself back into a, wait a second, I have something to give place and a desire to serve place, and I want to give something that's of value to you. And I called and I called and I called. At 11 o'clock, I had the second and a half day of consulting. 11:30, I had the third day of consulting. And at 12:30 to 1 o'clock, I had 4 1/4 days of consulting. I dropped the phone down. It was now 5 o'clock in Australia, end of business day. And I went, oh my God, I'm going to Australia. That was 1 a.m. the morning, and the flight left at 6 o'clock that night. In the middle of the night, I start to go, I've got to get myself ready to go. Well, that whole day was a blur, but I got my visa, I got my ticket, we bought a new car, I prepared for my workshop, and a friend drove me to the airport, and I got there about 5:15, and at 6 o'clock, whoosh, I was taken off to Australia. It was incredible. Not only did I attend a wedding, but I crashed the honeymoon. Fortunately, they'd been together a couple of years, so it wasn't a big deal. But I also got to see the Great Ocean Road and the 12 Apostles, one of the famous sites down on the south coast of Australia. It was an incredible experience, not only to be with them, but then to have all expenses paid to Brisbane and to Sydney, where I have a new family, to Canberra, the capital, and to Melbourne, and do talks and consulting, many workshops and advising in different capacities to be able to cover the cost of my trip to Australia. So, back to the purpose of the story. How many people here listen to Spirit or ask for guidance regularly? Now, this is not a should, and if you want to put up your hands, great. But if we don't do it as much as we might, why not? Why is it that we don't do the following the guidance like the Daily Word says, or like I was doing here? I explored that a little bit, and for me what came up was this. The ego and separate self says, for decision making I depend on my own thinking. The larger self says, I depend on something larger. These are the two worlds, thinking crossing the bridge, from our own thinking to something larger. Just decide and do something is the ego's edict. Just do it, decide, go, you've got to be active. The other one says, ask and listen and follow that. So that's the process of decision-making from one side of the bridge to the other. To the ego, guidance is about being told what to do, have to's and should's. You'd better do this or else. Anybody feel like if they ask, they're going to be told what to do, and I don't really want to be told? It's kind of like living with the God megaphone.
If you get that answer, that's the wrong answer.
Now, that's good insight because you've clearly done some. But to the ego, it feels that's what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
I just don't like being told what to do. It's a resident place inside many of us. So when we work with guidance in this way, it doesn't work. It shuts us down. Suppose we looked at guidance differently. To the true self, guidance is about listening to our larger self,
what's truly in our own best interests, like with knowing, should I be trying to go to Australia or not? I just want to know, because if I'm not going to do it, I don't want to spend the next 3 weeks putting out energy that's not going to be productive. But if I can and I am, let me know so I can do it. Freedom, joy, peace of mind, safety, growth, without force, shame, guilt, or pressure. This is the way that, and it's taken me a long time to begin to work with inner wisdom or guidance or insight from this more loving place inside. Think of ourselves this way. That mortal mind that Lori read in the Daily Word, mortal mind that's limited. If we see our own limited thinking as being a very small sphere of what we actually know and understand and know what to do in the world, we need to shift. But can we shift in a way that empowers us? What if we were to shift to seeing ourselves as part of a larger mind, that we are at the center of, but part of all parts of, that it's in fact in us and through us and around us, not imposed so much as a larger sense of self trying to speak to our little mind saying, if you just listen, I can tell you, here's the way to get to Australia, or whatever your desire or aspiration might be. Story number two, leadership from within. Whew, all of these stories are leagues on leagues of experience, and I'm trying to make this one as brief as possible. One, my wife and I were running a word processing and desktop publishing business. One of the things we saw of people bringing in their writing is often the writing wasn't too clear, too cogent. Really something that if you put out something, other people would really respond to. So I began as just having some writing skills to help people do and redo some of their writing. Well, a friend knew this, and so he recommended a friend of his. This gentleman's name, Peter Urs Bender. He came originally from Basel, Switzerland, German first language. Urs means bear. His original name was Urs Bender. In Canada, he adopted the nickname Peter. Well, Peter was a presenter. And in fact, he became known as the Canadian guru of presentations. Call that in the national media. He'd written a book called Secrets of Power Presentations. Had a ghostwriter or a helping writer to help him put his ideas into words, and became a bestseller in Canada. Well, Peter came to me and said, will you help me to write? First of all, a promotional letter. English was not his first language. He could speak English, but he couldn't write it in a way that was clear, cohesive, and cogent. Well, I wrote the letter, and it was successful. He loved it. He came back and said, how about doing an article with me? And then after one article, he came back and said, can we do more articles? And what he said to me was something quite touching. He said, you listen to me, you think into how I think, and the words you write are like my own thoughts that I haven't even expressed. And so when I wrote for him, it felt like him, and he wanted to do more and more and more. He became a friend and a mentor, a coach. It was an incredible relationship with a client to have. Unfortunately, my wife and I weren't doing that well in our business, and so I came to the realization one day in my own truth that I needed to stop doing the work I was doing and go out and find a job because I needed more income. And the next day, after getting clear on that, I sat down with Peter and I said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop working with you because I need to go out and get a job. And he said to me, I never thought I'd say this. I never thought I'd do a second book, but would you like to help me write my second book? He was doing a seminar called Leadership from Within, and he wanted to do a book on it to help him promote his business. Well, I said, I've never written a book. He said, I know you're writing. I believe you can do it. Well, we talked about it. We wrote a proposal, put it to a publisher. The publisher said, this guy's an unknown quantity. But Peter said, I believe in him. He's going to do my book. Will you take it? They accepted it. And for the next 4 months, half day, I sat down and I wrote a book. I did it. I recorded his seminars. I took his material. I based it on his material. And then I expanded it through my own experience of leading from within. And we created this book, which then became a national bestseller as well in Canada. Very, very fortunate. Well, he loved it. And he loved the book. And he was invited by something called the Canadian Management Center, part of the American Management Association in Canada, to do a course, a two-day course called Leadership from Within. You can see my name at the bottom. Well, how do I make it short? Basically, following Peter as a speaker was like going on after the most famous humorist in the world and being somebody who'd never spoken before. I mean, it was a challenge. I hadn't spoken publicly in work for 20 years, and I'm now following Peter, who's a comic, originally a banker, but has found his inner comic. Incredible experience. Anyway, we got a private gig to do one day, a $2,000 job for 2 days, so $1,000 a day, private company. And he said, will you go in and do this by yourself? I went in, I did it, and I came out afterwards saying, imagine how much money I can do if I keep doing this. And another part of me said, this is not mine. This is his story. This is his work. I can't do this with fullness of heart. So I called him up and I said, I can't do these anymore because it's not my material to offer to the world. Are we able to be honest with ourselves, with what's true and what's not? It's a challenge, particularly around money. For me, the spiritual path is about moving towards truth, and part of the small steps along the way is being truthful and honest with ourselves and each other. And that was how I took the next step on the bridge by saying no to $2,000 for 2 days' work because I needed to have my soul and my heart and my truth and integrity. To thine own self be true. Hard, but powerful. Story number three. It's about a camera. I'd never been a photographer. My father had taken thousands and thousands of photos when I was young. But in 2010, 2011, I had an intuition, buy a camera. What do I know about a camera for? What am I doing this? Well, I bought a camera. I have a love of nature, so I started to take pictures. This one's a little hard to see in the light, but the view off my balcony in Toronto along the Humber River. Well, when I came to take more photos, I eventually started saying, I want to share these photos because I love them. I love what's in them. So I started putting them to music and giving them to friends and family at Christmas time as my Christmas gift. Simply something that I love to do. Well, when I came to Vancouver, I continued doing the same thing and created another show, a year-long show of photos and music of my West Coast experience for a year. And I had an intuition then to take it to a senior's home and show it to them because they need entertainment. I had some relatives in a senior's home. I asked, they accepted, I took it in, I was paid for it. Cool. I love sharing this. Well, after the show, the worker, the recreational worker said, have you got anything to celebrate Canada 150? This was last year. I said, be nice, but I don't. I've only been taking photos for a few years. It's not going to work. But I went home afterwards, and for the next 3-4 days, I'm going, I've got to do something around Canada 150. I've lived in 5 major cities. I've traveled to 9 provinces. I know the country pretty well, and I love it. I should do something. Well, I fought with myself. I asked God, I looked for guidance, and eventually felt like it was the right thing to do. So for the next 5 months last year, I created a show called Canada from Sea to Sea to Sea, an hour-long photography tour from photos taken by photographers across Canada with their permission. Oh, there's the music coming in. I didn't realize I had this. And I put it to 14 pieces of Canadian music. Well, I was showing my show. Oh, we're going to get the music across. That's interesting. When I take slides from another PowerPoint presentation, I don't always know what I'm going to get. This is the poster I created to take it into a senior center in North Vancouver. Well, at that presentation, a woman came up afterwards and she said, "I love this so much. Could I be your agent?" She has been my agent for the last 6 months, and we have created shows, both this one and my nature show, and taken it into dozens of senior centers across Vancouver, Burnaby, New West, and Richmond. It has become a new job for me. That's the Canadian music and behind. So, the richness of sharing these shows and inviting people to share their memories of Canada has been extraordinary. It's been a gift that I've given them, and they have given me back. And when I leave a senior's residence, the staff say, "We've never seen a response like this. The energy just flows out of people. There's an aliveness that we haven't seen before." It's been incredible. Now, you know enough about the board. Can you turn down the sound on that? If not, we'll just let it go. Okay, so don't worry about it. We'll just let her go.
It's actually the laptop.
Oh, it's
the
laptop itself.
Yeah, so don't worry about turning it down. I'll just finish with one more story, and it came across my computer on Friday, and I said, "Thank you very much. Amazing what we can do when we ask. I appreciate it." Story number 4 is about pizza, and this one's really short, and it's not even mine. Julie and Rich Morgan live in Indiana, and they love pizza. Here's a story that Julie, and this is where Indianapolis is down here, this is a story that Julie shared on Facebook last week. 25 years ago, we lived in Battle Creek, Michigan. Battle Creek is up there. If you know the distance, say from Toronto to Detroit, it's even further than that. It's a pretty long distance between these two towns. 25 years ago, we lived in Battle Creek. We were young and money was tight, but every payday, my husband Rich would pick up Steve's Pizza for dinner. I can't possibly describe how delicious this pizza is, but several moves and all these years later, we've never found a better pizza yet. Rich has frequently critiqued other pizza and said, "Good, but it's no Steve's." Well, Rich and I recently planned a weekend getaway to Michigan to celebrate my birthday, to go up from Indianapolis to Battle Creek. We talked about seeing the leaves and the lakeshore, but that was secondary to our planned visit to Steve's. Unfortunately, life took a different course. She says, "Instead, I took Rich to the emergency room, where he landed in ICU for 5 days, and we learned the news that his valiant cancer battle was coming to an end. Rich is now at home under hospice care, and we are enjoying every minute reminiscing and visiting with family and friends. But unbeknownst to us, my dad contacted Steve's Pizza and spoke to Dalton, the manager there. He told Dalton a little bit about our situation and asked if the shop might send a friendly text or card or something like that to us for Rich. Well, without hesitation," she wrote, "Dalton asked what kind of pizza we wanted and told my father he would bring it to us. By the way, Steve's doesn't deliver, just so you know. My dad clarified that we were in Indianapolis, at least 3.5 hours away from Battle Creek. Dalton said he understood that and would leave after he closed the store. And so while Rich and I slept, at 2:30 in the morning, Dalton rolled into the driveway, left the car running, and delivered 2 extra special pizzas to my waiting family. He told them we were in his prayers and offered to help in any way he could. My dad offered to put him up in a hotel, but he refused and immediately left for the return trip home because he had to work the next day. I am beyond overwhelmed and humbled," she writes, "by this act of genuine kindness. Dalton brought our family so much joy and the best pizza in the world at a really difficult time. While thank you hardly seems adequate, from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Dalton, from Steve's Pizza in Battle Creek, Michigan, for making your epic middle-of-the-night pizza delivery. Posted by Julie Morgan, October 16th on Facebook. Well, this one hit the media. Local media first. Local media, Battle Creek Inquirer, said 18-year-old pizza worker Dalton Schaefer is being praised for going above and beyond the call of duty after he broke the restaurant's takeout-only rule to deliver a pizza to a family's home 3.5 hours away. When asked about his extraordinary good deed, Schaefer told the local newspaper, "I just wanted to do that for them. I just wanted to make them happy." How is that for acting from love or spirit and creating richness? A spiritual approach to life changes. A spiritual can just be anything connected with love, like his act was. Changes the way we see and act at work, create a living, and earn income. For me, it's about do what you love and love what you do. We may not be in the perfect job. We may be without a job. But if we're bringing love where we are and listening more for how to bring love from what we are, those to me are a pretty powerful combination. Combined with listening within and deciding with spirit, our whole mind and being, it's a good connection. It's about creating richness and wealth from inside of us for others, and feeling and receiving it for ourselves. Money, unfortunately, doesn't grow on trees. But wealth and richness do come from within. So go out and live a rich life.